Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Terry's Power Hour, a show where we create our own reality. Thanks for joining us. So, pull up a chair and enjoy the adventure. And now, here's Lord Terry.
And good evening, everybody. Good afternoon, good morning, good wherever in the world you are. This is Reverend Terry Power, and these are the Power Hours. And I'm joined tonight by my partner in crime, my love, my best friend, my everything, Robin, my lady. Are you there?
Hi. Hi, honey. I'm here.
All right. So, yeah, a new year, getting it all started up again, getting back into the swing of regular work schedule and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Been quite a couple of days getting settled back in at work, and it seemed like nothing was the same schedule from before Thanksgiving all the way to the end of the year.
Yeah.
And now it's. Now it's time to get back into, get back into the schedule. So, anyway, how are things going on over in the wilderness over there?
We are good. It's frigid here tonight. just absolutely bitter when I have to let the dog out and open the door. I feel sorry for her. She had to go outside to do her thing, you know. Got no choice. Even she sort of stands at the door and looks at me like, really, I have to go out there? It is bitter cold. It is windy and nasty again and just really mean and nasty cold.
Yeah, well, it is one degree less bitter over here, so. Yeah, it's not any fun, but the wind has died down over here. Yeah, yesterday the wind was the real bite.
Yeah.
Well, but at least it's supposed to start warming up as the week goes along. So. I'll be looking forward to. I'll be looking forward to a day above freezing. So. You know, I was not complaining about the warm. I was quite happy with the warm, the unseasonably crazy warm, and we can get that back as far as I'm concerned. I'm not having a problem with that at all. So, anyway.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Tonight, we are jumping back into our series on the Major Arcana. And trying to pick back up. We kind of let things got a little crazy with the holidays. Getting back into the swing of things, we're going to pick up with the Hermit card tonight and continue the Fool's Journey. And we're also going to be starting this month our series of shows on the casting of a circle.
Yes.
And breaking it down into its individual parts and talking about
mm-hmm.
each one, one a month,
mm-hmm.
as we take it through and have a little bit of sharing
mm-hmm.
Of our ideas and our way of doing things and helping people to understand what we do and why we do it and that sort of thing is what all of these things that we say and do in casting the circle, what they all mean and how they fit together. So
exactly.
We will be working on that. One element a month. We're still in the final phrase of how we're going to break it down. But one a month for the next several months, along with the tarot card a month. And, of course, our regular full moon rituals, and then whatever we throw in the in-between weeks. So it should be a lot of fun for the next several months.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're enjoying this, share it with your friends, and let them know that we've got tons of stuff coming up in the coming months, in the new year, as we start up our new series. So anything you wanted to add or throw in there before we jump into the Hermit card?
I think that's it.
Well, alrighty then. So, the Hermit card, the Fool's Journey. I mean, we followed the Fool's Journey,
mm-hmm.
Starting with the Fool himself, and maybe we should recap.
Okay.
Because we have been away for a little bit. So,
mm-hmm.
we followed the Fool's Journey. And it is our journey, if we want to take it, toward self-development and
mm-hmm.
Deeper understanding of ourselves and our place in the universe. And there's a tremendous amount of empowerment that I have found every time I have worked through and meditated on the Fool's Journey. So, of course, we start with card zero, the Fool himself, or herself,
mm-hmm.
as the case may be. And the start of the trip, newborn. Not afraid, everything is, the beginning. Then the Fool begins to journey out into the world and meets the magician and the high priestess
mm-hmm.
In successive cards, seeing the balance. The balancing forces that make up the world. The magician is the active, creative side and the consciousness, while the high priestess is the unconscious and the mysterious. Then he continues along and encounters the empress,
mm-hmm.
which a lot of people think symbolizes the Fool's mother in this journey. And we talked about all of the nurturing and abundance that comes with the Empress. And it's very motherly. It is the mother aspect of the goddess embodied in the Empress card in the tarot. Then the Fool encounters the Emperor, the father, the father aspect. And here is structure, authority, expressing into the world, and discovers order and rules, but not in a overly structured, blinders on kind of idea of rules, but learns to set guidelines for him or herself, and learns how to order his or her own life. And with this, there's an understanding of purpose. Next, the Fool encounters the Hierophant and cultural education, belief systems, in some stricter concepts, it could also come down to I don't want to say enforced conformity, but that identity with a group and the the word is escaping me, but the feeling drawn to conform,
mm-hmm.
To fit in.
Mm-hmm.
Next is next card that is encountered is the Lovers, where the young fool experiences and begins to understand sexuality and longs for a relationship.
Right.
And wants to be a part of that loving relationship. Then moving along, the fool encounters the Chariot and the Charioteer, and as the fool is becoming an adult, begins to assert his or her own self-will and taking control of his or her own life. And this is the first card of the fool's adulthood. Then the last card we discussed was the Strength card, and the developing of patience, tolerance, understanding, control by the kindness and loving approach, and interacting with the world in a way that is a little less severe than the Charioteer.
Mm-hmm.
But understanding that there must be some temper, some softening of that I'm in charge, I am in charge of my world, I am in control. That softening comes with the Strength card.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have reached the Hermit.
Right.
And this is where the, to my mind, this is kind of where the fool experiences the realization of mortality. And the question, why? Why are we here? What is our purpose? Why are people? Why am I here? And that search for deeper inner truth. That period of isolation that people, particularly spiritual people, take from time to time, where they remove themselves from the hustle and bustle of the world to seek time alone with their own thoughts, their own counsel, to seek through prayer and meditation to find the answers. And the answers to what? And they ask, well, those are your questions, not mine. It's seeking the answers to your own questions. What is it that you seek? And every time we take this journey, we will find a new question, a new why, and a new deeper truth that we are looking for. And it's only in periods of solitude that we can find those. That solitude could be minutes a day, it could be a weekend, it could be whatever you need. But the idea is to remove yourself from the hustle and bustle and look within. So that's where the fool is in the journey now, seeking answers, seeking truth, their own truth. So, with that, my lady, what are your thoughts? Jump on
in. It's funny how I've always thought that the Hermit card is very, it's almost like the card opposite the Wheel of the Fool, because the Fool comes into this journey sort of the innocent, the fresh, the new, right? Well,
okay.
the hermit has been and seen and learned, and now it's a time for him to step back and think about everything that he has learned, and retreat from the world, retreat from the physical experience that he's had, and evaluate it. And, you know, the hermit is holding a lamp to light his way, which sort of indicates that he's walking through the darkness, and he needs the light to help him to see. And as he sees things in his world now, you know, this is the first card we see in the deck that is cast at night. All the other cards have been cast during the day, and it is the journey of the Fool of the sun. He is out in the mountains and walking in the lands, and usually by day. Well, now the hermit walks at night. So from that standpoint, they're both journeyers. They're both, you know, on a journey. But the hermit's journey is to find the mysteries of life, to find the things in the night and examine them, and look at things from a different perspective, if you will. Don't look at things by the light of day, but look at things by the dark of night, and see if illumination and clarity can come from a reexamining of things from a different perspective. It also, for me, always, I mean, even the name of the card indicates solitude and wanting to withdraw and a time for introspection and inner peace, to seek inner peace. And if you can find inner peace, the implication is also here in this card that that can lead to enlightenment and internal illumination, if you will. So the fact that he holds the light and the staff is to help him on his journey and to ground him and to so that he can sure-footed where he goes, even in the dark. And the lantern is the same symbolism. He needs to see where he's going in the dark. So even though he's cast into the darkness and looking at things from a different perspective, he still carries the light within. I know that's a lot.
No, that's okay. I mean, I went through a great deal of, about the Fool's journey. I find it interesting that you see the lantern as lighting his way.
Mm-hmm.
And I see the lantern as his sharing his knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
The symbol of the star within the lantern is that six-pointed star of Solomon. It's the symbol of wisdom. And holding it aloft, to me, it's always seemed that he was shining this to say, here's what I have learned. To those that need that, to whom he has chosen to share it. And, you know, you mentioned the staff as being assisting him in his walking, or along his path. I also think of the staff as a symbol of authority.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of a symbol of his initiation, of his enlightenment. Mm-hmm. And standing there with the staff and the lantern to shine the way, not just for himself, but for others. To me, in some ways, he represents that wise old teacher that has gained wisdom through the years and has learned and is now sharing that with the chosen people, you know, the ones that they've chosen to share it with. So, you know, I don't know. There's a whole lot of depth to the symbolism of the Rider-Waite tarot deck. And of course, that's why we do this. That's why we use that deck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we usually have prefaced our shows with the explanation that we're using the symbolism of the Rider-Waite deck because it is an excellent learning tool and a springboard if you choose to look at other decks and work with other decks. That's great, but many of them are based on the symbolism of the Rider-Waite, and it is an excellent springboard to a deeper understanding of the tarot. The depth and the layering of the symbolism and the starkness of the coloring is very often kind of in your face.
Mm-hmm.
And so Robin and I spent a great deal of time talking about the drawing of the card and all of the things that we see. Now, this is one of the simpler cards. And I think that is also by intent, that the message of the hermit is one of simplicity. There's not a whole lot of layered symbolism here because we're looking at we're looking at solitude and an inner seeking. So, that's kind of my take on the hermit, and particularly in the Rider-Waite, and an explanation of why we use the Rider-Waite symbolism exclusively in these shows that we're doing. So, what else did you want to throw in there? Did you want to talk more about the card or get into the meaning when it turns up in the reading, or did you have other stuff?
Yeah. The hermit, can be seen as well as a teacher or one who guides, mentor, because he really, he has attained a certain amount of knowledge. And although not particularly social, if he is sought out, he may give you answers, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to give you the answers that you necessarily seek or that you will understand. Because he has a wisdom beyond the most mundane. He has stuck his lamp into every dark corner and every dark recess and examined and turned things over and looked at them. And for me, that's really what the hermit is about. It's about examination of self and like as I said before, lighting the way, not only for himself but sometimes for others as well. So if he does show up in a reading, you need to take a good look at, the querent's question and what are they missing? What is it that they need to take a better look at and reevaluate and perhaps seek out advice from somebody more sage than themselves?
Well, absolutely. Now, let's talk. We've got about 5 minutes until the break.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than launching into a lot of detail about the meaning of that card or that card showing up in a reading, I'll
mm-hmm.
talk more about the card itself.
Okay.
And some of the things to meditate on when you're studying this card. Because the Fool's Journey is essentially taking a card and studying it and looking at it, maybe putting it on your altar. If you have a place that you meditate regularly, putting that card where it's visible and meditate on the lessons to be learned from that card for a period of time. And by doing them in turn, that is the Fool's Journey that we refer to.
Mm-hmm.
So, meditating on the hermit would be to ask those questions. to seek that inner truth, your inner truth, your own enlightenment. You know, we both said that lighting the lantern lights the way, not just for the person taking the journey, but for those that are along for the ride with them. Mm-hmm. Those that they have chosen to share their wisdom. And, you know, studying and gathering knowledge, you know, also comes into play. Are you contemplating a course of action, maybe a new class or learning a new skill? Certainly that falls within the purview of the hermit. Time away to learn a new skill or a new piece of information, perhaps doing research on a topic or taking a new class in college or, at your community center or online or whatever it is you're choosing to look at. You know, that falls within the purview of the hermit as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes it may just have to do with getting old. Just aging. And understanding the path. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. One of the things about this card that is striking when you look at it and compare it to the other cards. And I do recommend that people take out all the cards of the major arcana and lay them next to each other and look at them all. The hermit is one of the most simply drawn, stripped-down cards. There's not a lot of sub-symbolism in this card. A lot of the other cards, there are flowers and little stars and moons and things that mean things, and lakes and rivers and trees that you can interpret, birds. You know, there's lots of stuff in the background. This card is really about simplicity and the wisdom of simplicity. And if you look at him, it's very simple. You know, he's standing on a precipice, obviously, because of the topography in the background, a little bit of mountain range. So he's standing on a little precipice, tor, whatever you want to call it, little hill. But the sky is dark behind him. There are no stars in the sky. It's almost what's absent from this card should be telling you something as well, that life doesn't need to be complicated. Things should be stripped down and simple. He's dressed very simply in a dark robe, plain staff, not embellished in any way, and a very utilitarian lantern. It's, again, not super embellished. It's, you know, classic. I mean, this deck was designed, I don't know, a long, long time ago, and you can still find lanterns like that at the store, very similar. It's classic. So you need to, there's a message in that with this card about, you know, keeping a simple life and not becoming overly embroiled in symbolism and the trappings and accoutrement, if you will, of life, and to see past all those things and that there is beauty and wisdom in simplicity.
Absolutely. Now, there is a question or a comment in the chat room, and Niv is saying or asking, wouldn't the hermit be like a sage, one with knowledge and experience holding the lamp in search of others? And absolutely. My answer is absolutely yes. Certainly the sage, the old wise one, is certainly one of the symbolisms that I take away from any study of the hermit. In some ways, the old sorcerer symbolism of or aspect of the god. The the old wise one, the sage, the sorcerer, however you want to to word or phrase or name that aspect. This certainly does remind one of that aspect of the God in so many ways. So, yes, Nev, I would agree with you completely.
One of the things that is sort of rife down through history is when people want to attain vast amounts of knowledge or some new mystery, you know, of life that they're attaining, is that there's usually some kind of wilderness or seclusion or hermitage involved in the attainment of that knowledge. It's kind of classic. You know, you go off into the cave and, you know, isolate yourself, and for some reason the gods bless you with knowledge. But also along with that knowledge usually comes some sort of significant sacrifice. So again, for me, that's part of looking at this card and seeing its simplicity, is he has sacrificed and stripped away a lot of the unnecessary. So yes, there is an aspect of the sage in that. But you also have to remember that when you get to that sage position, you know, like Gandalf in the Lord of the Rings, I mean, he had to, you know, sort of in a way die with defeating the dragon or whatever it was from
the Balrog.
You know, yeah, there you go, and to come back as Gandalf the White now instead of Gandalf the Grey, which is what he was. So he attained new knowledge through sacrifice. And a period of, you know, not being with everybody, of going within and facing his fears.
And passed out of this life and was sent back.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, passed through fire and darkness.
Yep.
Yeah, I always think of that as a kind of a crucible moment where it burned away all of that which was not necessary. Purifying aspects of the crucible. No, but you're right. Every legend, myth, story has some period of isolation and wandering in the wilderness before the attainment of enlightenment or some gift of magic or something like that. Always preceded by a period of fasting and wandering in the wilderness.
Right.
And sacrifice. Odin hung for 9 days on the world tree to gain the knowledge of the runes. Jesus wandered in the wilderness and was tempted before he was fully
crucified.
Invested with all of his. Before he was fully invested with his, you know, with his mission and the power to carry it out. Hercules had all of the labors. I mean, all of these stories, Osiris, I believe, had some period of isolation. So that the story, that, you know, that concept passes through from culture to culture to culture. And it is certainly represented in the hermit.
Yes.
And with that, we have reached the bottom of the hour and a little past. So we're going to take a short break. We're going to listen to a song by Bob the Bard called Cloak of Feathers, just somehow seemed appropriate for tonight. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how to look at the hermit card in reading and what it means when it comes up in a reading. And so everybody stick around, post your questions in the chat room, or call in to 646-564-9714 and ask us your questions live on the air. Again, that is 646-564-9714. And we're going to play Cloak of Feathers by Dog the Bard. Stick around. We'll be right back.
I hear your voice in the cool moonlight. Do you sing those words? beneath the stones on the hill. I want to see your land, and I wonder if I'll ever
one power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
we will it, we manifest it, we draw it to us. We receive it, we accept it, and we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
To the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to the show.
And welcome back, everybody. This is the Reverend Terry Power, and you are listening to the Power Hours. And sharing my Tuesday nights now with my lady, Robin, my partner.
I am Sheila, here.
You there?
Yep,
hey.
I'm here.
And we all made it back from the break. It's a good day. All right. So before the break, we were talking about the Fool's Journey, kind of recapping the Fool's Journey and talking about the Hermit card and how that applies in the Fool's Journey as we meditate on the cards, going through the major arcana and meditating on each in turn for a period of self-development. Now let's talk about the Hermit card and how it applies in a tarot reading. And you've already mentioned a couple of things about the, you know, time away, seeking inner truth. What else did you want to throw in there in that regard?
Well, it's definitely a card related to sort of the fall and winter, because that's the beginning of, so it's this time of year, you know. It's a card related to barren times. It can also be a card related, you know, if it's thrown in a reading, oftentimes it's about, you know, you need to go back and reevaluate. You need to take a deeper look at this. You need to look at it from a different perspective and perhaps seek somebody with experience in the area in which you are trying to develop, or a decision that you're trying to make. Find somebody in your life who has the knowledge about that and go and seek them out. Seek out a mentor, seek out somebody who's going to help you. And find out if they are the answer, you know, to what you need. Oftentimes, too, it can talk about that the person needs to have a time of contemplation and quiet in order to make whatever transition or change or gain the knowledge that they are seeking.
I tend to agree with most of what you said. I don't see it necessarily seeking a counselor, but rather seeking one's own counsel.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely suggests a time of withdrawal. And again, it doesn't have to be like leave your partner. It's like, you know, take a brief period of time away from the hustle and bustle. It could be as short as an evening. It could be a weekend, or, you know, whatever is appropriate. Within the boundaries of existing jobs, relationships, and other responsibilities. But a time of withdrawal for contemplation. That's what it always seems to me. When I see that card in a reading, it's like the person needs to back off, needs to step back, look at the big picture, and look within, because the answers, I always think that this card says, you know, why are you asking me? The answers are inside you. You know the answer,
right.
You just got to find it.
Sure.
That's kind of what I see when I see the Hermit card. Is, you know, you already know the answer. What, you know, go, you know, seek within yourself. You know, what is it at the end of the charge of the goddess? I think it's in the charge of the goddess, with both. But if you seek me in this or that, I know that you're seeking will avail you not, unless you know the mystery, that unless you find what you seek within yourself, you will never find it.
Right.
I'm always kind of reminded of that when I see the Hermit card.
Right.
It's, you know, the answers are within you. I often look at the nearby cards. And what do those tell me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you've got cards that support. You know, you're talking about, you know, in your reference, if you're looking for a guide, or if the person is supposed to seek out a guide, often you will see perhaps the Hierophant or the High Priestess,
mm-hmm.
or even the Emperor or the Empress. With that, the Hermit card saying, seek out this kind of person. Maybe you're being told to go seek out an older relative. And, you know, so sometimes those kind of other cards nearby
mm-hmm.
Will give you some clues. Let's see. No, I guess, you know, just looking and the way I do a reading about where does the card fall in the reading. I know
mm-hmm.
you just kind of turn cards and talk about each one as it comes up, and the order in which they come up isn't really as significant as
mm-hmm.
someone like me that uses the Celtic Cross. I find a tremendous amount of meaning in the Celtic Cross. And, you know, you and I like order, and you like, to a certain degree, a lot more freeform.
Mm-hmm.
And we found a tremendous excitement in the middle as we develop our own way together.
Mm-hmm.
But that is almost always, I will approach things with order and a plan, and you're kind of, and I'm not so sure I want to have that strict a plan for things. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, you've taught me to lighten up, and I think I've helped you to order things a little more in a positive way. And I think
mm-hmm.
that, like I said, we found some excitement in the middle. But our approach to readings are different. And my approach to reading is that Celtic Cross, where the card falls within the Celtic Cross. You know, if it's in a position about how others view you and you see the Hermit, well, it could be that others are seeing you as aloof. They could see you as withdrawn when perhaps you're not seeing yourself that way.
Right.
You know, you may see yourself as, as the fool, carefree and adventurous, and others are not seeing that. Then you look at why. Why are there differences? You know, where does the card fall within that kind of spread? If it's in the past, then you look and you find out from the clearance, have they been in a period of withdrawal? Are they now re-entering, the hustle and bustle?
Mm-hmm.
If it's in the future, perhaps it's a sign that they will be going through some separation or some period of contemplation. Is it something they know, something they don't know? I mean, so, again, I find a great deal of meaning in the position.
Right.
And so you ask the questions, because to me, when I do a tarot reading, I don't always get as many answers as I get questions. Because my favorite questions for, and I even counsel clients, ask a question like, what do I need to know about? and seek information, not answers. Seek wisdom. And sometimes that wisdom comes as questions to ask yourself or for the clan to ask themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I like the wording of a question of what do I need to know about ... insert, you know, question. And that tends to open it for a free flow of information rather than locking yourself in on a specific question, which may not even be the right question.
Agreed.
So that, you know, that's maybe when we get finished with the major arcana, perhaps we'll have a couple of shows on doing readings and formulating questions and that sort of thing,
right,
to assist, you know, people if they're starting to learn the tarot and want to start doing readings,
uh-huh,
you know, learning how to formulate a good question.
Right. Right.
Is often the key to success, or I won't say failure because there's no failure in the cards, but shining success or mediocrity, not getting what you're really looking for, and asking the right question is very often the key to that. We could have,
uh-huh,
a whole show probably about asking the question. So, let's see, we are at 9 minutes away from the top of the hour, so perhaps it's time to begin wrapping up. I'm going to check the chat room one more time to see if there are any other questions, and I'm not seeing any questions in the chat room, so perhaps it's time for final thoughts. My lady, would you wrap up for us, please?
Well, one of the things I always tell people is if you are trying to learn the tarot, take out the card and keep it where you can see it, on your mirror, on your fridge, wherever you spend some time, and meditate with it. Get to know it, talk to it, embrace the energy that you get from the card, and really wrap your head around it. You know, meet it as if you were meeting a friend, as if you are the fool taking this journey. Sit down and meditate with the card if you have time. And reach out, you know, in a lot of ways, each card here is a little key to a certain aspect of some knowledge of the universe, you know, some universal gateway, if you will. And so, you know, embrace the card and embrace the knowledge that it's offering, and open yourself to it. And this is the best way to get to know the deck and to start reading cards. And in this way, once you become friends with each card, when it's thrown in a reading, you know, you're going to be able to hear what it's trying to tell you.
Wow, that is excellent, and stole a great bit of what I wanted to say. Very cool. Yeah, on that part, at least we agree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'd said something earlier about, you know, put it on your altar, put the card where you can,
mm-hmm,
see it, where it would come. You know, if you do have a period of prayer and meditation during each day,
mm-hmm,
that would be a perfect time to contemplate that card. I absolutely agree. And the Fool's Journey has, on many occasions, been a key to self-discovery,
mm-hmm,
and learning something more about myself. And each
right.
card...
Right.
And each card, doing them in order, takes us through depths of discovery that are perhaps surprising as you work through the journey. You will very often find surprises within yourself that you didn't know existed. So... some good, some bad, but usually there's a solution presented as well as the knowledge and discovery. So with that, I think it's time to tell people how to get in touch with us.
Well, you can always get in touch with us through the radio station email, which is surn.org@gmail.com. And so if you have any questions that you'd like to send us or comments in reference to any of the radio shows, please feel free to send it to that address. If you'd like to get in touch with myself or Terry, feel free to email littlestonebridge@gmail.com. We both look at that email address. Or you can contact us via Facebook. You can contact us on Facebook at contact me on Facebook at Spiritual Wellness Physical Health, or at the Little Stonebridge Pathworking page, or on my personal page, Robin A. McKean. And I know, Terry, you have your pages as well.
Right. Well, we share the Little Stonebridge Pathworking. That is our ministry. Let's see. For me personally, the Friends page is just Terry Power. There's a few of us with that name. So you got to make sure you find the one that says it's in North Copley, Pennsylvania, and says something about the Spiritual Unity Radio Network there in the little write-up on the when you find the profile.
Uh-huh.
You can also look at my public figure page. That is Rev Terry Power HP, and that's a like page. So is the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. So is Little Stonebridge Pathworkings, and so is the Spiritual Wellness Physical Health. All
mm-hmm.
of those are the kinds of pages that you click like and let
right.
us know that you're around so that we can help gear our message and gear
right.
information to you guys.
Yeah.
So make sure you click like. Also, you can follow me on Twitter at RevTerryPowerHP. So with all of that said, the hermit, that's just such a, a lot of people see that card and they think of isolationism and they think of being, having things taken away from them.
Uh-huh.
And I think of it as a wonderful gift of quiet. Now, perhaps
uh-huh.
that's only something you can understand as a parent.
Yes.
But,
very true.
Before we have children in our worlds, then quiet is scary. When we have children in our lives and they are home, quiet is still scary. But when we have a time of quiet and a gift of solitude, it is truly something wonderful and blessed. And I don't see the hermit as a scary card, but as a period of contemplation, perhaps a slight withdrawal, because the world is a little crazy and there's a lot of hustle and bustle and turmoil and drama and just stuff in our lives and in our world. And until we can remove ourselves from that and quiet, then it's hard to look within. So seeking that little bit of solitude is not a bad thing. It is an opportunity to look and think and be still and quiet and sometimes listen to our inner voice, because the answers are there. We just have to listen for them. And with that, wow, I think that's probably a good place to stop talking. So I will offer and wish you all a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
Good night, blessed be.
listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.